This is where we ended, and we talked about one of the slides that I want you to benefit from it, where, as we said, you combine the Quran with the seerah, you really end up with much deeper pictures of what was happening at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here, I mean, you look, when the Prophet ﷺ landed in Medina, Allah revealed to him Surah Al-Baqarah. And sometimes in the first year, Allah also revealed Surah Al-Hajj. And this means that it was kept open for quite some time. Surah Al-Baqarah was open almost for 8 years. See, then we have Surah Al-Anfal. Anfal towards the Ramadan of the second year. And it was open also for several years. Allah knows how long it was open. And then Surah Ali Imran, around towards the end of the third year. And then Surah Nisa, sometimes in the fourth year. See, that order helps you see pictures, and you really will enjoy the study of the Quran and the study of the seerah, and raising your children in a much better way than just, you know, taking things randomly without looking deeply into them. And inshallah, I will come back and deal with this issue some other time. We said that there were stages and there were steps. And we talked about two stages, the stage in Mecca and the stage in Medina. And we characterized the stage in Mecca as building the faith, the character, and the salah, or the ibadat in general. And then the phase of Medina, building the individual to function within a community. And now we want to talk about some of the steps that one would follow or one should go through. And I took some of the steps, one approach to the steps, from this verse here, in which Allah said, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. This verse is in Surah Al-Hujurat, where Allah said, the A'rab, the Bedouins, said, Amanna. We became believers, we believe. And Allah corrected them and said, do not say, we believe, say, we declare Islam, or Aslam. And Iman did not enter into your hearts. Iman did not enter into your hearts. Do not say, we believe, say aslamna, because Iman did not enter into your hearts. So we learn from this that we have terms here. We have the term, according to this verse, Islam, and the term Iman. And we add to them another term from the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab, where he said that while we were sitting, a man came in. He looked like a traveler. Nobody among us knew him. And he sat down. He put his hands on the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him, what is Islam? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, Islam is to be a witness that there is no deity but Allah. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. To establish the salah, to make the zakah, fast Ramadan, and to believe in the hereafter, and to believe in al-qada wal-qadr. You see, I mean, ask him what is Iman, and then ask him what is Islam, you know, and then ask him what is Ihsan. And when he asked him what is Islam, he gave him the five pillars of Islam. Islam is to be a witness that there is no deity but Allah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, you know, shahadat wa la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, wa yuqam salati wa yita'u zakati wa sawm ramadan wa hajjul bayti liman istata'a ilayhi sabila. And then
And then he said, "You said the truth." So the companion said, "We were wondering." He's asking him, and then he's saying, "You said the truth." And then he asked him, "What is Iman?" And Prophet ﷺ mentioned to him the pillars of Iman. Al-Iman an tu'min billahi wa malaikati wa kutubi wa rusuli wa liyawm al-akhir wa al-qada'i wa al-qadr. Iman is believing in Allah, his messengers, the angels, the books, the day of judgment, and qada' wa al-qadr. And then he asked him, "What is Ihsan?" And he said, "Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you see Him. And if you don't see Him, He sees you. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُمْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ." So here we have three levels, or three steps. If we really come to the third step, there are two steps that one has to go. Which one is the most important step, or the one, the best step, or the best level? The level of Ihsan. Next to that is the level of Iman, and next to that would be the level of Islam. So, when we look at these three levels, when I look at this, these levels, I want to say something and you correct me. Every Muslim is a mu'min. Is that a correct statement? Every mu'min is a Muslim.
Is that a correct statement?
Yes, it is correct. Every muhsin is a Muslim. Every muhsin is a Muslim. Is that a correct statement?
Yes.
Correct. Every mu'min is a muhsin.
No.
You see? And here comes. As you go wider, then this is a smaller circle that has few. قَلِيلٌ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Few of الْأَوَّلِينَ. You know, few of the people come into that. The majority would be from الْأَوَّلِينَ to the Prophet ﷺ. And a few of the ones who will come later after the Prophet ﷺ. So, it becomes important for us to remember that we should go through these steps. Now, the steps here, everyone leads to the other. And there is a common area between both. So the transition is not really abrupt. You can move from Islam to Ihsan to Iman, and you will not really see a very big distinction until you become totally mu'min. And the same with the level of Ihsan. I also put them in this form, you know, intersecting with each other in this form, meaning that one could jump immediately from Islam to Ihsan, possible. And actually one could jump from Ihsan to Islam, possible. And we learn Islam increase and decrease, right? This is our aqeed, that Islam, that your Iman would increase or decrease. How about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? How would you describe him when he was told that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of God? Did it take him time to go from Islam to Iman and to Ihsan?
Immediately,
he jumped. And we say, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the fadl of Allah. The gift of Allah gives this to whom He wishes. You see? It's a very important aspect of our understanding of Islam. Now, when you look closely into these three levels, and how we're going to go from one level to the other, the level of Islam responds to the level of knowledge, where people learn things. And the level of Iman corresponds to the level or the step of practice. The more you practice Islam, the more Iman comes to you. The more your child practices Islam, the more he becomes closer to Iman. And the more he would be mu'min rather than Muslim. I want you to tell me from your knowledge, or if there are teachers here, they would answer it immediately.
children in high school, which level are they? For the majority of them, which level are they? Islam, Iman, or Ihsan? Islam. Why? Because you know they have not really come to the level of Iman. One of the criteria you would judge that your child
have developed and came
to the level of Iman, when your child comes and tells you, "My daddy, why don't we go and pray? It's time for dhuhr, we haven't prayed dhuhr." If your child comes to that level, that he or she is willing or ready to pray without being reminded, then they really have reached that level. When they pray sunnah on their own, without being ordered to pray sunnah, they have reached the level of Iman and maybe Ihsan. You see? When they do things on their own, then what is the driving force? The fear of the parent, or the desire for the reward, or Iman, when they do things on their own? Iman. When they do things because for a motive, for some other reason, then it's not Iman which is driving their action. When the Iman starts to drive the action, then we have reached the level of Iman. And it is important that you teach your children these levels, so that the child himself or herself would be able to judge if they really reach that level or not. Especially mature children. Especially children in middle or high school. When you tell them that, explain to them the concept, and then you explain to them that, "I hope one day Iman will drive your actions," then that immediately brings cognitive recognition in the child's brain that I really have to move myself to that. You see? And then that will help them and encourage them to come to that level. So that's one of the most important steps that one would use. As we defined in the practice, we should use these priorities. Three priorities that we talked about. Now, the level of Ihsan, from my analysis in the Quran, comes in with the more you pass through difficulties, the more you suffer, the more you will have tawakkul ala Allah, the more you will depend on Allah, the more your level of Iman will increase, and you will reach the level of Ihsan. You notice that I want you to learn something from what Allah said in the Quran. Allah said to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِ, so that you are made under my own eyes, under my supervision. Allah is making Musa alayhi salam, manufacturing Musa, building Musa. Does this, is it limited to Musa? The answer is no. It's extended to all the prophets. Allah raised all the prophets. Okay? Have interference in the way they are raised, in the way they are brought up, because they sit above. Now, when you examine the life of Musa, the life of Yusuf, the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find that there is a common factor among at least the three clear, you know, factor that is connecting the three stories, which is suffering. Allah let Musa suffer when he was a child. And then when he started to enjoy his life in the palace, what happened? Did Allah leave him in the palace? Allah took him out of the palace. Where did Allah put him after that? Threw him in the desert, right? Madian. And actually he was a fugitive. And then he worked in labor as a farmer. You see? Is that how Allah raised his prophets? Yes, it is. Because through hardship, difficulties, people grow. When everything is rosy, you're not really going to grow healthy.
And when the community is not going through difficulties, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think they're going to say we believe without being tested? That test brings the best out of you, out of the community, out of the individual, out of your child. You look into Yusuf alayhi salam. What happened to him? Again, young child, then thrown in the world, then was put in the palace, and the same model is repeating itself. Where did he stay in the palace? Allah took him out of the palace. Where was he put after the palace? Jail. What a place. A prophet put in jail? That's how Allah raised his prophets. Difficulties? Help them. Yes, sir.
So, Dr. Hamid, you mean there is no ihsan without difficulties, without suffering?
From my analysis, suffering leads to that. It leads to that. It prepares them. Gets the good qualities out of them. Is it possible? Possible. Allah knows. You see? But the normal way is, you go through this hardship, this difficulty, these tests that one would have, any believer would have to go through these tests. You pass the test, you are a person. You see? Because you say amanna, iman. So you have iman. Allah give you the test. يُبْتَلَى الْمَرْءُ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ دِينِهِ فَإِنْ كَانَ فِي دِينِهِ صَلَابًا زِيدَ لَهُ فِي الْبَلَاءِ. As the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says, he will be tested according to أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. The hadith says, the most in the test, with the hardship would be the prophets. And then يُبْتَلَى الْمَرْءُ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ دِينِهِ. You will be tested according to how much deen you have, how much strength in your deen you have. If there is salada, meaning strength in your deen, the test will be hard. زِيدَ لَهُ فِي الْبَلَاءِ. The hardship will be much more. You know. And then, the believer will become a muhsin through that. صَبْر. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Whosoever has taqwa and صبر, patience, Allah will not let the reward of ihsan go astray. And the word ihsan is mentioned there. I want you to examine where muhsin or ihsan is mentioned in the Quran, and you'll find in most places that it is tied to taqwa, sabr. You see? So the two of them and passing the difficulty would lead to that. And the example that we gave, Yusuf, Allah took him from the palace, put him in jail, and then passed the test, Allah made him enjoy his life after that. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 2 years old, before his born, was his father. A few years after that, his mother is gone. A few years after that, his wife is gone. His uncle is gone. No. He's put in the desert. All of this, preparing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No food. Little food. Walking, suffering, bleeding. All of this leads to ihsan. It's the model for us, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Of course I would not subject myself to this. But if it comes to me, I'm ready for it. Also, on the other hand, I do not, you know, flood my children with luxury. Allah actually said in the Quran, in Surah Az-Zukhruf, أَوَمَنْ يُنَشَّأُ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ وَهُوَ فِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرُ مُبِينَ. How are we going to make equal, you know, the one who is raised in luxury? أَوَمَنْ يُنَشَّأُ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ. حِلْيَةِ meaning luxury. وَهُوَ فِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرُ مُبِينَ. When it comes to khisam, meaning jihad and fighting, he's not able to do that. They're not going to be the same, the one who's in this and the one who's in this. So you don't put your child, I'll flood your child with luxury. You bring here, there is no israf. There is no wasting. There is no exceeding the limits. You bring the balance to the life of your child. You don't deprive your child, but you don't flood your child. Actually, anything, when you give too much water, becomes poison. You see? And when Allah brings the rain and the rain is too much, becomes a flood. Kills. And if it's so rare, you die. Balance, biqadr.
وكل شيء أنزلناه بقدر. Everything we send it with a due measure. That due measure becomes a very important factor in the process of tarbiyah. If that is there, inshallah, we'll be in a good shape, and your children will be raised in a good shape, and they'll pass to the area of ihsan, inshallah, in a nice way, inshallah. I want you to remember wasiyat Luqman. Luqman alayhi salam, Allah said, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. We gave Luqman al-hikmah. And the hikmah, أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. Make shukr to Allah. Be thankful to Allah. And then we read, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ. Luqman said to his son while he was giving him an advice. And when the advice comes from a wise man, Allah prepared him and gave him the wisdom and gives it to his son, must be the best. So what is it that Luqman wanted his son to learn? Becomes a priority for you. You see? This is what Allah wants you to learn in the Quran. Allah is not sending it for you just to read it. Sending it for you to use it. And told you that Luqman is wise. Allah gave him the wisdom. So Allah wants you to follow that wisdom. Then you read Surah Luqman, or you teach your child Surah Luqman, you teach yourself Surah Luqman, and you use what's in it. If you haven't done that, it's time for you to do that. And when we go into Surah Luqman, and I want you to see, number one, what did he order his son to do? وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Do not associate partners with Allah. Concept of shirk. And actually, inshallah, next time or some other time, I will explain that the goal of Islam is to make sure that nobody makes shirk, which is tawheed. Tawheed becomes the ultimate goal, the vision of the Muslims. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. So, number one, do not associate partners with Allah. That's what he orders his son. Where does this fit in our three priorities? You remember the three priorities that we learned from the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ? Which one is la tushrik billah? You remember the name? Iman. See? Iman. Or aqeed. That's what it is. And we see it just in front of us. And then the second, فَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. Be nice and kind to the parents. And Allah always put the parents next to the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of priority of whom you should give your attention to. After Allah comes, your parents. And the children will learn that. Unfortunately, the children here are not told that. And if they are told, they are told one time, or two times, or three times. But they are not constantly bombarded with this. We have a tendency to forget. I tell you something, you month past, or 2 months, you forget. So one of the key elements of tarbiyah is to remind them again and again and again. With this verse, and preferably, if you want them to memorize, let them start memorizing Luqman. Because it has what Allah wants the child to follow. So memorize Luqman. Let your child memorize at least the first two pages of Luqman. Surah Luqman. Why? Because if the child memorizes Surah Luqman, or the advisors in Surah Luqman, he'll be more willing to listen to you. But Luqman, read something about that. That's something I know, that's something I memorize. You see? So it becomes important that you give priority to Surah Luqman. And what's in Surah Luqman? And then, after that, we read again about the parents, the same thing. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِهِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. If they want you to commit shirk, do not obey them. وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفٌ. And be kind to them in this earthly life. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ And follow whosoever calls to me. And then you will all come back to me and I will tell you what you have done. And then, continuing with aqeedah, with iman, with faith. يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِنْتَكُمْ إِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ حَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُمْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ If there is a mustard seed, and this mustard seed is hidden in a rock, or in the heavens, or in the earth, Allah will bring it. See, this little seed, if it's hidden someplace in the middle of igneous rocks, Allah will bring it and tell you where it is. If it's hidden in the heavens, there, in billions of years or millions of years of travel, Allah will tell you where it is. And if he falls from the earth, from a tree, Allah knows where it is. Allah here, Rahman is telling his son these aspects of aqeedah. Aspects of iman. Again, the emphasis is on iman, again, in his order. And then next to that, he tells him, Ya Bunayya, Aqim al-Salah. As you can tell, this is the second priority that Allah wanted Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before. So establishing the prayer becomes a priority. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَنْهَا عَلِ الْمُنْكَرِ Ordain the good, forbid the evil, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَ And be patient for anything that may touch you. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ That's the hardest of matters. What is that in terms of our three priorities? Manners, character, akhlaq. You see? So as you see, the three priorities that we talked about are here in wasiyat Luqman to his son. وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ Do not swell your cheek to people. Meaning, be humble. You know, you turn your face that way, that's what it means. When somebody talks to you and you turn your face that way, that's what it means. وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ You're not worrying to listen to the people. That's what it means. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا Walk humbly on earth. Do not walk with arrogance. Character. And this character building here, these things that are mentioned in Luqman should be priorities. Like when I teach sincerity, honesty, this, be kind to your neighbor. We start where Allah wanted you to start. Read this, arrogance is top. Allah wanted you. Take care of arrogance. If arrogance is there, nothing is going to work. SubhanAllah. And that's why, if you want to start, before you talk about sincerity, honesty, this, talk about, you know, arrogance. Make sure that there is no arrogance. If there is no arrogance, everything else will come. And that's what we learn from the wasaya of Luqman to his son. وَقَصِدْ فِي مَشِيكَ Walk humbly, moderate, in pace. وَقْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِ Lower your voice. Everything else comes after that. Dear brothers and sisters. So, back to, I would mention two approaches to tarbiyah. And actually these two approaches are safeguards. I don't know if I mentioned them last time or not. If I mentioned them, please tell me. Okay. Like we're not going to spend a lot of time on them. You work on the inside, You work on the internal qualities, not the extrinsic qualities. Work on the heart. Work on what really matters. The heart, the iman, the aqeedah. And everything else will come. Don't work on the outside. Working on the outside is okay. But before you work on the outside, work on the inside. This is the approach that Prophet Muhammad followed. And he taught us, If your heart has for sure, the rest of the body will lower down. And he taught us that Allah will not look into you the way you look, but looks into your hearts. أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغًا It is a peace in the body. If it's good, the rest of the body will be good. If it's corrupt, the rest of the body will be corrupt. أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ And that peace is the heart. So it becomes important for me to follow that approach that the Prophet ﷺ wanted to follow and not to focus on the outside. And as we said last time, when you have a problem, or your child has a problem, fix it on the spot. I took this from the trees and outside my house. It just got bent, and I couldn't fix it. Stayed like that. Since it was a baby, up till now, couldn't fix it anymore. You see? So it's better you fix things immediately as they appear. If you don't fix them, you're going to lose them. And you don't want to lose your children at all. And that's one of the things that we do in the Islamic school of Irving here, is we set ourselves, our goals, and our priorities. Your children here in the school memorize these priorities. You ask any child in ISI, what are your priorities? They're going to tell you about priority number one, Iman, Salah, and Qahr. All of them. And that's the advantage of making lectures like this or programs like that. So that you know what your child in the school has been subjected to, and you have the same thing, and the teachers have the same thing, we all have the same wavelength, and we're all teaching the same thing that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught. That's the beauty of what we have, and that's what your children have learned 2 years ago. Okay. They have been learning that for the last few years. And we already talked about that. I think I will stop before I move to another subject here. I think I'll stop at this point. Any questions? Comments, please.
I'm Tariq Jaffi. I think about a good significant number of Muslim students go to public schools or non-Islamic schools.
Yeah.
Could be of religious denomination or public school. In any case, good 80 to 90% perhaps go to non-Islamic schools. I think this is the first time I've been to your lecture, and I definitely commend you for making this effort. And it seems like that we have, I see the same theme all over our Islamic institutions, emphasizing what we have emphasized, wonderful. But I think the biggest challenge, the way I look at things, is the youth that's already at high school level that you mentioned, in non-Islamic institutions, how do we make an effort to bring them back? Or how do we entice them? How do we go and communicate this message to them? And that's the biggest challenge for most of the parents whose children are not in Islamic schools.
That's a very challenging issue. It's not that simple and easy. And also requires a lot of education on our part. Are you willing? Okay, and I ask this to the leadership and the community as well. Are you willing to accept the youth as they are in the Islamic Center here? You see? Why I raise this issue?
I think I would like to address it this way. Yes. Your question is a very smart one. That one, in my opinion, one, for parents need to accept the kids as they are, to begin with. And then, hopefully, leadership that comes to our masjid and our Islamic institutions are the very same parents. Then they need to go and bring it here so that our institution can start accepting them the way they are.
Exactly.
And like you said in one of your slides, you said dress and all these other things come later. Let's build a character first, bring those values in, and then, inshallah, they will understand and hopefully just a little nudge will work on them and they'll accept that, yeah, this is not an appropriate dress. So I think it's bifold approach is what's needed.
Definitely.
But that takes me to your, I guess, the next level, and that is, how do we propagate this message to the parents at large here? That, look, accept your children as they are, and let's perhaps, here's a suggestion, perhaps come up with a workshop that's geared towards educating parents, accept them as they are, and then try to bring them back to this fold that they have not been.
Beautiful ideas. I think I commend you for raising this issue. It's a very important issue. The leadership has to play an important role in that. Why? Because People normally, if they trust the leadership, they'll do what the leadership tells them to do. So building a trust between the leadership and the people becomes important. And then the leadership would make use of the channels that are already available to us. And the most important channel is Friday. Friday speech, Khutbah al-Jumu'ah. Why? Because everybody sitting there, they have to listen. You see? Becomes, whatever you do, you're going to get only a fraction of the community. Maybe you get 100, maybe you get 200, maybe you get less or more. It's not going to be as effective as the Friday speech. And that's why the leadership should give a very important, you know, emphasis on Friday khutbah and what it does. It should go in the same direction that you have, with your philosophy, with your plan, with your vision to bring the children. And then you have an activity. The activity, sports activity, brings a lot of children. Entertainment in general brings a lot of children. Today they come for the activity and entertainment, tomorrow they come to prayer. You see, if I succeed in building in their hearts that Salah is a priority for you, I have done a great job. If I don't do anything else, but I plan in their hearts that your Salah is a priority, Salah will fix them, inshallah. So hopefully, inshallah, our discussion will help. Just sports program. And for the first time in the history of the University of Kansas, 150 students praying in the gym all together, Salatul Maghrib or Salatul Isha, together in the gym. It was like a demonstration. So again, sports and bring them, they'll come and pray. They'll join the prayer when they see everybody's praying, all is praying. So I think that works. Please go ahead, my brother.
When you're talking about
good, you achieved something good. But I work, in my planning, I work on, I want them to do it because they want to do it. Because they believe it is the right thing to do. And that's the meaning of Iman. You see, when I believe that Allah is the one who wants me to do it and I obey Allah, I have achieved Iman. And since we are in the time of Hajj, Allah said, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whosoever glorifies or puts high the sha'air of Allah, all the laws that Allah put, salah is sha'ira of Allah, you know, siyam is min sha'air of Allah, and so on. Whosoever glorifies or put high this, samaka of taqwa al-qulub, driven by taqwa al-qulub. And what is taqwa al-qulub? Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see? So, if that becomes my approach, that I want my child to do the things because Allah is there, because he believes or she believes that this is the right thing to do, then I have succeeded. If I end up with Islam, alhamdulillah, it's still time for me to work on it. You see? That's how I plan.
Yourself or yourself going to be good. You see?
And then work to encourage the child or help the child do the good. And that is clearly demonstrated in the Quran. I want you to recall Yusuf alayhi salam. Left his father probably when he was 10 to 12 years old. Why did Allah protect him? You see? Definitely his father and his mother were good people. Allah protected him. They were not with him. He left them, they've gone. But Allah protected him. Though he was put in a corrupt place, but Allah protected him. Why? As an honor and reward to the good parent. We read in Surah Al-Kahf, at the end of Surah Al-Kahf, the children were protected. Orphans lost their parents. Why? وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. The Abd al-Salih raised them and, you know, protected and erected the wall for them because their father was good. You see? So, it becomes important to remember that this, the goodness of the father and the mother, will affect the goodness of the children. You read in Surah Al-Anbiya, and I want you to listen carefully. Surah Al-Anbiya, you read after Allah saved Ibrahim alayhi salam, talks about Ibrahim. Then Allah said, وَوَهَبَنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ نَافِلٌ. We saved him and then we gave him Ishaq and Yaqub extra, like his prayer nafila, salat nafila, nafila meaning extra, extra prayers. Allah gave him. He didn't ask for him, Allah gave him to him as a gift. وَكُلًّا جَعَلْنَا صَالِحِينَ And we made both of them صَالِحِينَ Like Allah جَعَلَ السَّمَوَاتِ Allah is the one who created, did this. Allah is the one who made them صَالِح. So it was like He programmed them to be صَالِح. Not only that, but Allah said, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءَ الزَّكَاةِ وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ And we revealed to them to establish the prayer, to pay the zakah, and to do the goodness. Wahy. Imagine yourself sitting and wahy comes to you to stand up and pray. Imagine yourself, wahy is coming to you to pay zakah. By wahy. Yani Allah throws in your heart that it's good that I go and pray. What a gift. But the gift is coming as a reward to Ibrahim alayhi salam. You see? The father, the children became good, and Allah blessed them, blessed their parents, and as the other verse says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ The parents who are children of good, we join them together in Jannah, and Allah would not deprive them of any reward. Meaning if the father is at higher rank in Jannah, Allah brings the children and the mother with the father and the mother in the higher rank of the father and the mother. And if the children are at higher rank, the father and mother are at lower rank in Jannah, Allah would take the father and the mother, put them in the same higher rank as the children. A reward. ذَلِكَ فَقْرُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ So the key is صَلَاحُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ The goodness of the parents. And that's what you were trying to say.
In Fort Worth area. For about 2 years we did some, we had a research grant. And to make the long story short, we have seen situations where parents were totally out of this norm, if you will. They were in drugs and all this and all nonsense. But there were some success stories. We worked with the kids that they were able to, they were 3, 4, and 5 siblings, and one of the kids, we just worked on them, and they were able to pull their siblings out of that chaotic situation, and they became successful, went to college and stuff. So I think we should also, as Muslims, look at it this way. What if parents have already made a mistake, there's no hope for them from our perspective, we cannot do anything about it. But how about the children who are out there, they never got the guidance. The real word of guidance never got to them. So as community, part of the community service, we should take the message to them and try to bring them into the fold, particularly the Muslim kids. I know of situations here in South Dallas suburban areas where Muslim kids are rotting in jail because they were young, 12, 14, 16, and they got into drugs and they were thrown into jail because their parents did not spend enough time. But when they come out of there, who is there to guide them? Again, go back to the same parents who brought them to this point because they did not take care of them. Guess what? You have lost a child that way. And when I look at things, I look at it this way. Whatever happened to them happened. I'm not interested in that. For me, it's an opportunity to do something for the sake of Allah and for the sake of our future generation. Parents have made their mistake.
I see you know
right.
what you're saying.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I see a chance for us to have development in the area.
Absolutely.
Definitely, we really don't have programs or mature programs to take care of special problems like that. We need to develop these, and I think we have, alhamdulillah, part of the leadership here, and I think that could be an initiation of a project to take care of that, I hope.
And I think I'll point to this brother's What he mentioned earlier, that
Who
they're
is
taking
my children. Is it you or somebody else? And unfortunately, in most cases, it's not you who's raising the kids. Your own kids. Somebody else is doing that. And as you indicated clearly, it's they intentionally drive all these here, raise the children, not you. then it becomes important that you use, if you're not able to do that, let the Islamic school do it. We're not talking here about charter school, we're talking about Islamic school. We're not talking about part-time Sunday school. We're talking about the Islamic school. You know, one time a week is not enough. We're talking about a full-time Islamic school to help you do that. You add to it, you take part of in that, you take part and you leave the another 8 hours for the Islamic school, then we are doing justice to it. But just leaving it to the TV, the TV is the worst, and with the computer now, the worst. Shaitan is only a click away. You see? It was in the past maybe a few steps away. No, it's not a few steps. It's a click away. You click, you're there. That's the problem. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us protect our children and get to the point where we do things, inshallah, according to the teaching of Islam and according to the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sufficient to you and a credit for you in the day of judgment, inshallah. Subhanallah, wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr.
دستورنا القرآن وديننا الإسلام أركانه الجليلة دعائم الفضيلة ويا الشهادتان كعيدة الإيمان والصوم والصلاة وحج والزكاهات. Our guide is the Quran, our religion is Islam. Five noble pillars upholding what is virtuous. To make the testimony is the base of the faith, and the fast and the prayer, the pilgrimage and charity.